Last Sunday, we had a little message on simple trust. This morning, we want to talk about simple faith. Whether it is trust or whether it is faith, we have to have a beginning place. It has to start somewhere. All forms of trust, whether simple or mature, must have a foundation to build on. Growing and building and building and growing. It's the basic principles of our trust and our faith. It's the process of the spiritual walk and relationship with God. I have a scripture in Psalms 84 and 7 that says, "They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion that appeareth before God." Strength is something that will affect or it has something to do with our trust. It has something to do with our faith. The scripture says that you and I are to walk in the light as we have the light. That's another way of building trust, building faith in our lives, because we grow. We grow and we develop in our faith or our trust. We also grow in grace, and from our Sunday school lesson this morning, we can grow in wisdom. We can grow in understanding. There is a lot of spiritual growth that God wants in His children. He doesn't desire anyone to stay in the baby stage, no more than you and I would want one of these babies to not grow. God wants His people to grow and develop. So we continue to do this all through our life. There isn't a point that we reach and say, I've got all the trust I need. I have all the knowledge. I have all the faith I need. It doesn't matter how old we get. In whatever phase of life we are, we're still needing more. Thank the Lord. He has more for us. So trust is, in reality, seems to be the foundation that is for all spiritual growth. And while faith and trust go hand in hand, faith is still developed through trust. I have another scripture in Hebrews 11 and 6, familiar scripture. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For it says that you and I must believe that He is God. And we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So believing is part of my faith. Trust is part of my faith. It says that believing in God and trusting in God, if it starts out and says, without it, I can't please Him. So evidently the opposite is true. With faith, I do please God. So I thank the Lord this morning that He can open up our understanding and develop a faith that will please God. I was speaking in the beginning of the message last Sunday on trust, and I referred to it as simple trust. And it having a beginning measure, Faith is the same way. Faith must have a simple faith in God. Matthew 17 and 20, and Jesus said this, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you." So now we have a little beginning point. Mustard seed is the smallest of all seed. And it's compared to mustard seed in, it can be in the size. It's also the purity of mustard. Mustard seed does not mix with any other seed. So you have two little lessons here. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it actually said that you can say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. One scripture said that. Another one said that you could say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up. All through the simple faith in God. A beginning place. Well, you might say, well, I don't really have great faith. God's not calling for us to have great faith in the beginning. He's calling for you to have a simple trust, and he's calling for you to have a simple faith and to allow it to grow. Thank the Lord. So this parable should encourage us concerning the mustard seed. I read that, and it says that it starts with an extreme point, being very small, but it wants to become an extreme point and grow and become large. The mustard also, when it is in the Bible times, it was it grew wild. And it started out the very smallest of plants, but it became what was considered a tree. It would grow to 15 feet in height. And one of the Gospels, one of the scriptures said that even the birds of the air would dwell in the trees, nest in the trees. So it started out very small, but it became very large. And that's what God is wanting out of your life and my life, to not stay in a small stage, to have a challenge, to desire to grow in grace and faith and trust. Never be satisfied. We sang the song this morning, I'm satisfied in Jesus. We can be satisfied, but we want him to be satisfied with us as well. So God is looking and expecting spiritual growth in each one of us. I'm looking at the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I want to look at verses 1 through 3. Often when we look at this chapter, we call it the chapter of faith, and it is. But the scripture gives a definition for faith, and to me it's very hard to understand. I accept the definition because it's in the Word of God. But it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes faith to read that scripture, to accept it as that. It goes on and it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, by faith, by your faith, you will also obtain a good report. And verse 3 says, through faith we understand. So it tells that it's because God created the world by the spoken word. Through faith, we believe that, and we trust in it, and we accept it. So that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not of things which do appear. Now, isn't that a statement that we need faith to believe? Yes, we need the faith of God, the faith of Christ. So even though this particular chapter might come to your mind as being the chapter of faith and examples of faith, and we call them the heroes of faith, I would like for us to look at the book of James. The book of James speaks a lot about faith, and and we again want to say that in the message last Sunday it was simple trust, and when our simple trust or trust is even mentioned, I mentioned this last Sunday, we often turn our thoughts and think of divine healing. But I made the statement that there's much more that you need to trust God for than just divine healing. But at the same time, when we speak about simple faith, we might have the same thought. Well, it has to do with divine healing. Trust and faith do have to do with divine healing, but it's not all. God wants to prove himself to you and me all along the way in various areas of our life, in events that come into our life. He wants us to learn trust and he wants us to learn faith, but not discount the fact that it has to do with divine healing. But let's also allow our minds to expand to all of those areas he's calling for you and me to trust and to have faith. So, it includes divine healing, but it reaches far beyond. Now, I want to look at James, the second chapter, and verse 26. And it says, faith without works is dead. It refers also to the body without the spirit is dead. God is calling for an active, productive, alive faith in him. Faith needs to produce something in life, something like evidence that I have faith. Verbal faith, faith that I can talk about. It's really not enough. I might have a mental faith, and mental faith is really not sufficient. Mental faith is really what you might call a head knowledge. I've read about it. I understand that it's there. I haven't got the action or the product in my life or the producing of faith in my life, but I know all about it. And yet God is wanting us to come to the place that we can have a work of faith, a simple faith, a beginning point. Though it's just as big as a little mustard seed, it's counted very small, yet God accepts that kind of faith as a foundation.
Yes, that's right.
I've experienced in my life a passage of faith and works. I've read this, I've looked at it, and I have at times almost give room. The devil comes in when we speak about works and faith. Show me your faith by your works. Show me your works by your faith. And we can almost feel at the accusation. Well, I don't really have enough faith to produce the works. And what are my works? And I begin to question my experience. I would like to say this morning, don't let the devil attack you with these thoughts as the message goes forth. Let us draw our mind in and let us think about what God is trying to work in our life to produce the works, but to allow the faith to grow and develop and mature. So I take the word here, and I want the word of God to guide me and to be my guide. I want it to be my goal that I grow and develop, and I need to know these things. But I don't want to allow them to hinder me in my growth. See? So there are many lessons that you and I can learn every day just through our experiences. Through life experiences, we can learn lessons about faith. We can learn lessons about works. And James indicates in the first chapter, and verses 2-6, I want to read those. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it works something." So now he's referring to temptations of life. It's part of life itself. It produces experiences. I can sometimes fail, and I learn a lesson by my failures. And other times I'm able to grasp hold of the promises. I'm able to rise above them. I'm able to be able to have a victory in my life. But I look at this and I say, but do you count it all joy when you fall into many different kinds of temptations? Oftentimes we don't count that joy. But the scripture is wanting us to consider the end result of the experiences that God allows in our life, to use those experiences that my faith will be developed, my trust will be developed, the grace will be developed, all of it will build and grow and build. So it goes on and it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How many people will say to you today, well, I'm not perfect? You know, the Lord is still calling for a perfection. Perfection of your spirit. Perfection of your desires toward Him. Yes, we may have our failures. We may make our mistakes. But what do you do with them? Do you wallow in them? Do you say, well, I can't help it. I'm just not perfect. My family isn't perfect. No, don't make excuses. Run to the one that can help you, that can help build your experiences to patience. Sometimes we have to have patience with ourselves. I just see myself as being a failure. That I want to tell you, God is drawing each one of us to a place. It even says in His word, be ye perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so many people don't like that scripture. They feel like that they fall so short. And yet God is saying, come unto me. Another scripture says, my arms are outstretched still. I'm drawing you to me. You can learn of me. And you can find those places of being perfect in me. Thank the Lord. So I want this to go through verse 6. If any of you lack wisdom now, we talked about wisdom in the Sunday school this morning. How many of us, and I'm not asking for hands because we all may raise our hand, have lacked wisdom from time to time? Probably every one of us. But here's some instructions for us. He's calling us to perfection. He's calling us to a mature faith, a mature trust, and he wants it to grow and develop. He wants it to build, and this is the way it happens. Recognize the failures, recognize your needs, and come before the Lord for your needs. So if you lack wisdom, what do? You ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth. He's not going to correct you because you suddenly realize, I don't have enough wisdom, but I need wisdom. So I ask God, and it says he doesn't upbraid us, and it shall be given him. So we ask. But listen to what the next verse says. Let him ask in faith, believing and trusting that God will give him this wisdom that he lacks. So that's part of the scripture this morning. The trying of your faith is going to work something good in your life. Every trial, every test that comes into our life, even a small measure of faith, what does it produce for its stage, its place in life, the level of faith? You learn to endure. You learn endurance. Whether you're a young in the faith, if you produce or if you exercise that faith that is maybe in its infant stage, you can still learn a form or a fashion of endurance, a measure of endurance, a small measure of faith, a small measure of trust. It can help you fight that battle right there. There is another scripture that comes to my mind. It's 1 Corinthians, I believe, the 10th chapter, and it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful. Now, a faithful God, what is he going to do with you, with your temptations? It says that who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able. So, you've got a small measure of faith. Maybe a small measure of trust. Maybe it, over here is someone else that's been living for the Lord 50 years. They should be farther down the road. They should have a greater measure of faith and a greater measure of trust. But it's developed. It's grown. And as it grew, for every level of faith, for every level of trust, they learned. And they claimed this promise. The one that is young in faith claims the promise. God's not going to give me more than I'm able to bear. God is with the temptation going to make a way for me to escape. And so here is the older person, been in the faith a long time. They're going to claim the same thing. Oh, my God is faithful. We're going to... That will encourage our faith, just to remember that God is faithful and that he knows me. He knows my personality. He knows where I came from. He knows my family characteristics. He knows everything about you and me. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows the intentions of our heart. Listen, be honest with God because he knows. And God will, with the temptation, make a way for you. He'll make a way for me. And he's wanting to teach us just one step at a time. He's not trying to put my faith on you. Nor does he want me to become low in faith just because somebody else is low in faith. Keep the faith. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Oh, I want to tell you, God has the faith. He has the faith of Christ to give to you and me. And you can pray for the faith of Christ to be in your life. I pray that way too. The faith of Christ is going to help your growth, your development. Oh, thank the Lord, He's made a way for you and me. Doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. It doesn't matter where we are in life, what we've been through. God is able and He is faithful. Thank the Lord. So, the trials and the tests of faith, they come and go. Doesn't matter how old or how long you've lived for the Lord or how short of a time you've lived for the Lord. You're going to meet tests and trials. And the scripture plainly says that he's going to have a tested and a tried people. And that's not to scare us away. That's to make us feel He's going to help me. He's going to prove Himself to me. Thank the Lord. So it doesn't matter now what level or what phase of faith I'm in. He's going to be faithful to me. So, in every level or phase, we can face each trial. And I'll say it this way, we can face it head on. That's with determination and that measure of grace and the power that God gives them to both all of us. Thank the Lord. So we can develop a measure of also endurance. The 12th verse now of the first chapter of James, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried." Now the reference on that has been proven. You know, we often say God's going to prove Himself to you. And I believe He is. And we often say we want the Lord to prove Himself to the younger generation. We want that. Because He has proven Himself to us over and over. But He turns around now and He wants to prove you. He wants you to make a high score on your test. You know, when you were in school and you did your work and pretty soon it came time for a test. There was a reason. What have you retained in your learning? And the score always said something. There were those that often really applied themselves and they wanted 100. They wanted to make 100%. And then there were those that were a little slack and they didn't quite apply, but they were satisfied with just a passing grade. I want to tell you, God would like for us to do a little better than just the passing grade because He has the grace. He has the power for you and me to overcome. He says for you and me to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. He's giving us testimonies all along the way. Let us not hold them within. Let us speak them out. Let us say, the Lord has given me grace and He's given me power that I have been able to overcome this. Oh, you may not tell what this is, but it's a testimony that God's working. And He's building us and He's developing us. He's bringing us to a mature place. Thank the Lord. I distinctly remember early on in my ministry, and I did a lot of crying, and the Lord spoke to me one day and said, it's time for you to grow up. And you know, it's time for us to not stay in one place. It's time for us to move a little bit higher and to go a little bit farther and to allow Him to do a little bit more in my life, to allow the difficult places. The scripture says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Are we soldiers for Christ this morning? Have we enlisted until we die? Well, let us give our all, because he gave his all, didn't he? Didn't Jesus give his all? He says, all to him I owe. He will not fail you. He will not fail. He will help you. You remember I've told you this, that when I first was in the ministry and was praying with individuals at an altar, and I would always say, the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. Then I'd go back to my seat and the devil would just attack me in my mind. And he'd say, you just gave them false hope. And then one day I found this scripture and it says, say to the righteous, it will be well with thee. And the devil could not contest that. And I use it even now. When I pray at the altar, I tell them that little story. And I tell them, say to the righteous, it will be well with thee. What does that mean? That means God's going to help you. God's going to help me. Thank the Lord. So he's going to make a way for you and me to escape and face our tests and our trials and our battles head on with faith. Thank the Lord. Let's see now. I didn't finish that scripture. I'm going to read it again, James 1 and 12. And it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried or proven, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Thank the Lord. So by faith, we're going to understand some things. We're going to understand the purpose of our trials and purpose of being tested and even the need for our trials and our temptations. And so we want to end this morning with some of the scripture that we used last Sunday concerning trust. And we're going to use the one that David said. We want to insert here again about fear. Fear will affect trust. And fear will affect faith. Fear has a way of affecting our grace. It will affect our determination. Fear is something that can paralyze. It often comes through imaginations. And remember, and we say it, we've said it before, we're going to say it again and again. There's no grace for imaginations. Imaginations are just that. They're just images that aren't real, that come to our mind. And the enemy wants to use that to weaken us and to cause us to be in distress and to cause our minds to be troubled. And when we are troubled and in distress, it's going to affect my trust in God. It's going to affect my faith in God for whatever he's calling for me to have faith in. This is how the enemy works. So David saw this, and there's a number of scriptures concerning this, but David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So I'm going to change it just a little bit and add it for the little thought this morning. So what time I have fear, I will have faith in thee. I determine to have faith in God. And faith in your God, in his faithfulness. Faith in his faithfulness. Faith in the word of God, because his word says that his word cannot lie. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. You can trust him and you can have faith in Him. He's not fickle. He's not here one day and gone the next. Whether you feel Him, whether you see Him or not, Job said it, He knows the way that I take. I'm going to follow Him. You have that kind of testimony, that kind of determination. And God will help you with your fears. And it says, in God I have put my trust. In God I have put my faith. I will not fear. Thank the Lord. God can help us with any hindering cause that we may face. Every battle, every trial, every test, every temptation. Well, I want to end with this little thing that statement that I read, and it said, feed your fears and your faith will starve. But if that's true, then wouldn't the opposite be also true? So feed your faith and your fears will starve. Thank the Lord. I hope that the Lord can take some of these little thoughts this morning and bless your faith, and that you will trust in Him to lead you just one step at a time. I want to tell you that's how every child of God has made it to heaven. He did not save one person and require them to have a faith they weren't ready for. He wants to develop it. He wants it to grow. And He wants us to deal with our fears. Feed your faith, and the fears will starve. Pray for me.